All right, so we continue our journey around being. So this morning in the first talk, Dan introduced the model, and especially in terms of efficiency and all this stuff. The previous talk was about portability and extensibility. So these talks were mostly around developer, how you can implement your runner or your IOs and all this stuff. This talk is more end users. So you want to start with Beam. Where can I start and what can I do with Beam? So it's just some examples, some use cases. I try to do it concrete, but it's open to discussion. Okay, maybe you may have some different standpoint. So again, Apache Beam, what is it? I think now you know it's a unified platform. Designed to provide efficient and portable data processing. I think you got it now. We announced the first release this morning, the first stable release, which is a great milestone. About the talk, so then this morning about the Beam model, Dave and I, we talk about portability and how to be the glue between the different parts of the ecosystem. This one is more some use cases, end users, and this afternoon you have an extension of use cases dedicated for benchmarking, how we implemented benchmarking using the Beam model. So tonight, birds of a feather, about discussing and whatever you want. After this session, we love beer, so if you want to share some beers with us, that would be great. In terms of agenda of this talk, the first is a skeleton about the Beam project. I start with Beam, what should I do? And I decided to do five different use cases, and the focus will be on different part of Beam. So the first use case will be a data ingestion use case. So I retrieve data from somewhere, and we're gonna see what is a bonded IO, especially for this use case. Use case two is IoT. So it looks like the use case one, but there are slightly different in terms of unbounded IOs by time. Use case three is data format. I receive data in one format. I have to deal with another kind of format in another part of my pipeline. Use case four is analytics. I have to process some data. And finally, the use case five is an orchestration of different pipelines. So I have different pipelines, but I would like to integrate each other. So in terms of prerequisites to implement these use cases, or let's say to start with Beam, first you have to decide which SDK you're going to use, or DSL. So for these use cases, I use the Java SDK. Okay. Second thing, so as I'm using Java, I prepare a Maven project to simplify the way to retrieve the dependencies I need in my pipelines. When I'm going to use different IOs, of course, I have to define, I'm going to use HDFS. I'm going to use Elasticsearch. I'm going to use, I don't know, Kafka. Okay, and all the IO, all the dependencies that I need in my pipeline, if I would like to do some logging in my pipeline, of course, I need the logging dependencies. Most of the time, I also need an execution engine. When I have to run this pipeline, I can run on locally on my machine, but to do that, I need at least the direct runner. Okay. In this example, I use Maven profiles because the runner should not be part of your core dependency. The code is the same again. Remember the talk we did before, portability? So the code is exactly the same. The only thing we change is the profile, defining where I would like to run my pipeline. In terms of skeleton is what I said already, so I have the different dependencies that I need. And a basic Maven project looks like this. The first dependency I define is the SDK itself. Okay? You can see this example I already ready with a new stable release, 2.0. So I'm up to date. So the first dependency is the SDK. Of course, I'm gonna use the Java Beam SDK, so I need all the primitives provided by the Beam SDK. The second dependencies that I may find is some IOs that connect to external system. In this sample, I use HBase. Okay, I will maybe consume or produce data into an HBase database. And finally, in my pipeline, I will do some logging. So I need some logging, in that case, SLF4J dependency. That's the minimum piece that I need in my Maven pod. With that, I can write a pipeline and execute a pipeline. The second thing that I need, maybe, is some extension of this POM to have a profile for my execution and my runners. So I have one profile for the direct runner. I may have a profile for the Flink runner, another one for the Spark runner. And when I do NVN clean install, I will provide -p with a profile of a runner I would like to use. If I would like to switch from one runner to another, then I just change the profile. I don't change my code. And if I provide two profiles, my code will be able to run on Spark and Flink without recompiling or rebuilding my application. In terms of project now, so I have a Maven project, and now I have to write the code. Okay. This is my preference. Maybe you have other standpoint, and I'm completely open to that. My preference is to create one pipeline per class. So I create one class, and I have one pipeline in this class. It's probably easier to maintain and easier to identify, but there are no huge requirements in the Java SDK. You can gather multiple pipelines in the same class if you want. This pipeline is executed in the main. Okay, in my class, I just define a main class where what I do in the main is first I create the pipeline. Okay, you will see the code is pretty simple. So I create the pipeline, I define the different steps in my pipeline, and at the end, I execute the pipeline. That's basic, any Beam project looks like this. Create the pipeline, define the step, execute. So let's start with the first use case. Data ingestion. Let's say I'm a Spotify or Deezer-like company. So I would like to retrieve from the different label, like Virgin, like, I don't know, Warner, all this stuff, the different artists. And so I would like to retrieve this from an external database. And I would like to populate my local, let's say, I don't like the name, but data lake or whatever the name you give, but my local repository with all the artists and labels. So this use case will be in batch mode. So I would like to retrieve from a database and just store, and I execute this every night, for instance. So I'm going to use bonded IOs. As Dan explained this morning, the same code can work in batch and streaming depending on the IOs. In that case, I'm in batch mode, so I'm going to use a bonded IO. So the IO are responsible of read and write of data from one source and backend. Okay? It's wrapped as a P transform. So it means that basically to use an IO in a Beam pipeline, you just use dot apply. At some point, if you're at the first endpoint of your pipeline and the last endpoint of your pipeline. It's packaged, so an IO is most of the time is packaged as a jar file, so as a dependency that you just define in your Maven pod. And you can also be, an IO, it could be a very simple function, okay? Because you don't need all, Dan explained this morning, you don't need splitting, you don't know how to estimate the size. So in that case, it's a very simple function that would be executed on a single executor. For example, right now, JDBC IO in Beam is like this, because it's pretty hard to estimate the size and to split the read in JDBC. If you want, and if you are able to implement all the features provided by the Beam model, so splitting, estimation of the size, and all of this stuff, then you package this as a Beam source. Okay. For the write, so this is for the read, for the write is simpler than that. The write is just a function, because I would like to store the elements in the collection that I receive inside the backend. I can store element per element, or I can batch by a number of elements, thanks to the bundle we saw this morning. So I can implement my start bundle, I try to write, and I finish my bundle after. But the right is, most of the time, is easier, but sometimes you have to deal with deduplication and stuff like that. It depends on your source. So bonded I/O is a special case of I/O. It reads a bonded P collection, so it's a P collection where you know the size, and you have to implement, if you want to use the source beam API, the estimate size and the splitting. So estimate size is a heuristic estimation of a complete size. It could be based on a sampling. It could be based on some primitive function that some of your backend provide. And at the end, thanks to this estimation and the number of executors, because the runner can deal with that, you can define a number of splits. Okay. So first use case, data ingestion. What I would like to do is I would like to read data from JDBC, and I would like to write those data into HDFS. Pretty simple. So we're going to use the JDBC I/O, which is a bounded I/O, actually is a function, to retrieve the data. There are some special, let's say, things to define on the JDBC I/O. And then we're going to write the HDFS files using a simple text I/O. And thanks to a file system we saw in the talk just before. So this is the code. So just take a look on this code, it's pretty easy. So imagine I'm in the main method of my class. The first thing that I'm doing is to create pipeline options. So pipeline options allows you to inject some argument to your pipeline execution or to the runner. So it could be something that you create by your own. You can extend the pipeline option to create your own pipeline options. Then once you have the pipeline option, you basically create the pipeline. Pipeline.create, pretty simple, okay? So I have my pipeline. Now what I have to do is to create the steps in my pipeline. The first step is to use the JDBC I/O. So pipeline.apply JDBC I/O. And you can see that the type of the element in my P collection will be key value of string. And why is this? Because in my JDBC I/O configuration, I overwrite a row mapper. So the row mapper is for each result set that I get from the database, I create my P collection element. So it's where I create the key value element. So you can see that in this row mapper, I override macro method. This macro method gets the result set. And so thanks to the result set, I create my key value with string. Basically, it's the name of the label and the name of the artist. Okay? This is highly distributed, right? So this P collection of key value has to be spread on different executors. It's not on a single executor. So if it has to be spread, I have to be able to serialize each element in my P collection to be able to have some element from one executor to another. To do that in Beam, we use Coda. So the Coda is not related to the data format. The Coda is really related to serialization and deserialization. And here in my case, it's pretty simple. I use string Coda. Okay? You can use Avro Coda. You can use Java serialization Coda. It's up to you, depending on the type of the object you have. I do a group. So I group my artists per label. Okay, this is a very simple function. So I do a group, and then I convert my key value pair as a string. So the string will be label and the list of artists. And it's this that I'm going to store into HDFS. And you can see that to store in HDFS, I just provide text I/O, right, and I provide the HDFS. The only thing that I need to be able to write on HDFS in this pipeline is an environment variable named hadoop-conf-dir, where I have my HDFS site.xml, where my name node is located and all this stuff, the Kerberos and all this configuration. And at the end, I execute my pipeline. It's done. So my pipeline will retrieve all data from JDBC according to this query here. So you retrieve all RTs from JDBC, do some parsing, transforming into the key value pair inside another key value pair, grouping by ladder, and after that it transforms the key value pair as a string and I store in HDFS. First use case. Okay, pretty easy. Let's take a look on a second use case, IoT. So Internet of Things. This time the RTs that I'm going to receive, they are not stored in the database. I receive one message anytime that someone listens this artist on his phone, for instance. So this time I don't use a bonded IO. I'm not in batch mode, I'm in streaming mode. Okay? So in that case I will receive event and message from devices and I need an unbonded IO. So the unbonded IOs, it looks like it's an IO, but the main difference is you have to implement not estimate size. Okay, it doesn't make sense to estimate the size for something that already changed, is already up. So in that case, you define some kind of initial splitting. Okay, depending on the number of executors you have, depending on your backend. I mean, for example, if you use JMS, it doesn't make sense to have splitting with a topic. Okay? It makes sense to have splitting if you have a queue, for instance. So depending on your configuration, the IO can decide the number of splits you're gonna create initially. You have to implement the watermark and the timestamp. Okay, so remember the talk this morning about the difference between event time and processing time. So at some point, for instance, if I use JMS, the timestamp of the element will be the timestamp of the JMS message. So when it's in the queue, but maybe this message will be consumed in 2 hours because I have a lot of consumers and a lot of backlog to execute. So the processing time will be the time when I receive actually the message into my pipeline. Okay? Checkpointing is also a way of, if something goes wrong, I have to resume in the last checkpoint. So I have to really remove my message from the JMS queue, for example, only when I finish my bundle completely and execute it completely. So for example, with JMS it's pretty easy because we have the notion of acknowledge. So I have to send back the acknowledge for the pending messages only when my execution is okay. So all this stuff has to be implemented in an unbonded IO. So sometimes it's easy, sometimes it could be very complex depending on the backend. For this use case, I'm going to use MQTT to HDFS. So it looks like the first use case, but instead of consuming from JDBC, I'm going to receive messages on an MQTT broker. So we're going to use the MQTT IO provided by Beam with ActiveMQ as an MQTT broker. So it means that, for instance, your phone will send some message to this broker, and the pipeline will receive this message through the broker. And at the end, we still use HDFS through the text IO to store the different message. So this is the code. Again, the same thing at the beginning, I create options, I retrieve the option, and I create my pipeline. Nothing changed. And actually, the beginning of the use case is basically the same. Instead of consuming from JDBC, I consume from MQTT IO. Okay? The only thing that I define for MQTT IO is basically the location of my MQTT broker, so my ActiveMQ. Okay? This is the name of the topic, and this is the name of my client, in that case. And here, I receive, you can see, I don't receive key value pair this time. I receive byte array. It's the default when you use the MQTT IO. MQTT IO returns to you a P collection of byte arrays. So now it's up to you to convert this byte array into a string. Why? Because the text IO needs a string. So I have to convert the P collection of byte into a P collection of string to send to the text IO. It's what I'm doing in this function, PARDO, parallel processing. So it means that this function can be spread on the different executors. And you can see I define my function, dofern, where I specify my input format is byte, array, and my output format is a string. Converting a byte to string is pretty simple. I just retrieve from my P collection the current element, and I convert this element as a string using simply new string. Okay? Easy. But there's a change on the other hand. There's a change on the this time on the text.io. Why? We are in unbounded mode. So we are in a streaming mode. So at some point I have to write to my HDFS. But remember Dan's talk this morning about window and trigger and all this stuff. So if I don't define any, let's say, window, it means that I will actually write to HDFS only when I stop my pipeline. Not, I don't have any real-time result on HDFS. So here, what I'm doing, I'm using a window with a trigger to flush and to update my HDFS on the fly. Okay, so the text.io is still the same, text.io write, but you can see in that case, I use windowing writes. So it means that it will write per window. On HDFS, what does it mean? It means on HDFS, we'll have one file per window. Okay? Second use case, at the end, I execute my pipeline. Third use case, data format and normalization. This time, we're going to talk about the format in your P collection. Let's say you receive some data from, let's say, JMS in XML. And you want to store this XML into Elasticsearch. But Elasticsearch does not accept directly XML. So it means you have to convert this XML as JSON. You can do that with provided function in Beam, or you can implement your own data format binding. Okay? So today in Beam, you have Avro.io, Text.io, XML.io, and JSON.io that allows you to automatically read or convert in some special data binding. In this use case, I will show you how to implement it yourself. It's pretty easy. So this is the use case. This time I receive an XML message from JMS, so from ActiveMQ again. I transform this XML as a POJO. So it means I will have a P collection of string. I will convert to a P collection of artist, for instance. And then back from P collection of artist to P collection of string as a JSON that I can send to Elasticsearch. Okay, so it's exactly what we name data binding. Okay, I convert to a POJO. This is the code. Beginning is pretty easy. The only thing that I had, so I still have my pipeline option. I create my pipeline, nothing changed there. I just add a new thing, is the ActiveMQ connection factory. It's something that I need just for my JMS IO, okay? Because the JMS will consume from ActiveMQ. And so my source is a JMS IO that reads from this connection factory, and I define a queue. So it will receive an XML message from the Beam queue in ActiveMQ. And now the first step is I convert this XML as JSON. As POJO first. To do that, I'm going to use JaxB. It's directly provided by the JVM, so it's pretty obvious. And here you can see that I use, again, the pardo of Dothan, but you remember in the previous example, here, I only override one method in the Dothan, it's the process element. Is something that I'm going to do for each element in my P collection. Now, in this example, I override, of course, process element, but more than that, I also override setup. Setup is a method called as soon as my function is started. So it's where I would like to define the JaxB context. It's possible to define the JaxB context here, but it means for each element in my P collection, it will create a new JaxB context. From a performance perspective, it sucks. Okay, so we prefer to create one unique JaxB context in my Dothan, and then I use this JaxB context inside my process element function. Okay, Again, remember in this Dufan you can override start bundle, finish bundle, setup like I did, or tear down. Tear down is a callback when you stop the function. And what I'm doing now, you can see here, I receive JMS record. This is the object used in the JMS IO. So it means the JMS IO will send you a P collection of JMS record. A JMS record is basically the payload of the JMS message plus all the headers, the JMS headers. In my case, I don't care about the headers. The only thing that I need is the payload. So I get my payload, is the string, is the body of the JMS message. So I have a string, and here I convert this string, which is an XML, as a biography object. Biography is a JaxB annotated POJO. It's the artist with, let's say, I don't remember what I define a biography, but it's the name of the artist, the decade when he started to play music and stuff like that. Pretty simple. And so I put this biography inside my P collection. So it means that after this function, I will have a P collection of biography. It means that biography has to be serializable because I'm going to use the Java serialization coder in my Beam pipeline. And then I use another pardo. I use another Dufan to convert this time the biography POJO as a JSON object. And again, same thing. In the setup, this time I use JSON. So I create the object mapper, JSON object mapper in the setup. And in the process element, I retrieve a biography. And I convert this biography POJO as a JSON string. So it means that at that point, I will have a P collection of string containing JSON. And then I'm happy because I can send directly this JSON to Elasticsearch. It means that in Elasticsearch index, I will have my artist with a decade, with all the details. And to use Elasticsearch, I use the write, and I define the location of my Elasticsearch instance. So this is the location, this is the name of the index, and this is the name of the type in the index. It's done. So I get some XML message, and I send to Elasticsearch automatically. And I run my pipeline. Yes? Elasticsearch directly take JSON string, actually. So the Elasticsearch IO expects a P collection of string containing JSON. So that's why you can directly send, and the reason why I use this is especially to convert this as a JSON that I can directly send to Elasticsearch. Okay? Fourth use case. If you want, later we can go back on some use cases if you want some details or whatever. And this code, you will see at the end, is available on GitHub. So if you want to check it out and test by yourself. So another one, maybe the most classic use case you may have with Beam is analytics. You want to do some processing, grouping, and all this stuff. So in that case, you want to extract some business analytics and apply your thing. It could be run in batch mode or streaming mode. Remember what Dan said this morning, the only difference is the IO. So I have unbonded IO, and back as I'm in streaming mode, I bonded IO, and back as I'm in batch mode, but my logic's still the same. But this time, what we need is transform and function. Okay, it's something where you can compose and you can apply your change. So ptransform is basically, as soon as I use .apply on my pipeline, I expect to use a ptransform. So ptransform is a step in my pipeline execution. This ptransform take a P collection and produce a P collection. It can take more than one P collection in input, where if you use side inputs, and it can create more than a single P collection in output if you use side outputs. Okay, but let's say it's a general purpose. The coder, as we saw before, is all about serialization and deserialization of the elements in the P collection. Most of the time, as end users, you can use ptransform if you want to compose, as Devos said in the previous talk, you can have a ptransform to mix some part of a pipeline and some function. But if you want to implement simple transform, a Pardo with Dufan, as I did before, allows you to do that very easily. So let's do this analytics, very stupid one. Okay, I concede. I get some artists and I would like to see for each label, so Virgin, Warner, whatever, I would like to know the number of artists I have. Okay, just to do my bidding, for example. So I'm gonna run in batch mode, I think, and I will implement some transformation. So this batch mode is, I'm gonna take on HDFS a CSV file. The CSV file is basically the one that I created in the first use case. Remember the first use case? I read from JDBC some artists, and I store in the CSV file artist label, extra. So here, what I would like to do is, I would like to read these files on HDFS created with the first use case, and the first thing that I do, I split my element that I read. So this HDFS, the text IO, will return to you a P collection of each row in the CSV file. So for each row in the CSV file, I will have an element of my P collection. So I send this to a Pardo that's going to split the CSV in label, comma, artist. So I just split and I just send the number of artists that I have for this label. Okay, you remember in the first use case I have a group by, so it means label and the list of artists. So here I just do the count. And now I use a ready out of the box P transform. This is the count. So the count function is provided, the count P transform is provided to you by Beam SDK itself. So I would like just to count the number of elements that I have for each label. Okay? And at the end, what I would like to do is to map the label as a string. Okay? So in that case, I don't use a Dufan. I use a map element just to show you an alternative of Dufan. And I create again, this time a CSV, actually a JSON, that looks like a label and the number of artists. And I store again this on HDFS. This is the kind of analytics you can do. Third, let's say, pipeline is the orchestration. Now we would like to mix all these kind of pipelines all together. So some batch mode, some streaming mode, some analytics, some IoT, some data ingestion all together in a kind of global pipeline. So we would like to chain and aggregate the data from different pipelines and apply the same process. So whatever the data coming from unbounded source or bounded source at the end, I would like to apply the same thing without duplicating the pipelines. So one thing would be to duplicate the pipelines. So we can create a P transform but apply the same pieces of pipeline to the same, to different sources, or we can chain this pipeline. For the demo here, I use a Kafka IO and a Kafka topic to do the glue between the different pipelines. So it looks like this. So I have my first pipeline. Remember the first use case, data ingestion. I change the pipeline. This time it doesn't write on HDFS directly, it writes into Kafka topic. And I have a second pipeline, the IoT pipeline, the same as before, MQTT and all this stuff. And instead of directly writing HDFS as well, I send to Kafka. And this time the same process, so the same pipeline will consume from Kafka and send into HDFS. Okay? Classic use case, you want to aggregate and to have a simple, let's say, pipeline to process your data. And actually I will have three pipelines here. Okay, so let's say the first one, JMS to Kafka. So the streaming mode. So again, the same, I have a P collection of JMS record, and so I have I use a simple element to convert this JMS record as a key value pair, okay? And I send to the Kafka IO. For the Kafka IO, I just use the Bootstrap 7 and the name of the topic. And I have to define the serializer from the Kafka perspective how to store my data into Kafka. Okay? And I run my pipeline. Second pipeline, I retrieve, so it's a batch mode this time, I retrieve from JDBC and I send to Kafka again, the same Kafka topic. So this time I have a key value pair. You can see that the key value pair is exactly the same as before, it's a long string, and I use a coder as before, and I send to my Kafka topic. Okay? And finally, the Kafka 2HDFS, so the one that retrieves both data, both messages coming from JMS or HDFS and sending to HDFS again. So here I use Kafka IO as a read, not a write. So I define the same topic. And here I use a pardo to convert my key value pair. And I would like just to extract the value in the key value pair. I don't care about the key. Okay, so I just extract part. And here I store on HDFS. And again, Kafka is an unbounded IO by default. So it means that I have to use a window and a trigger to be able to update my HDFS on the fly. So it's what I'm doing here. I have a window of 10 seconds. And I trigger the execution, and here I have my window write, but write on HDFS. And so I will have both messages coming from JMS or data read from HDFS, written in my HDFS part. So conclusion. I think with Apache Beam, you can implement a large range of pipelines and use cases, combining different approaches, combining different IOs. You can implement something very flexible and covering a large part of your use cases. The function is very flexible as well, so you can implement anything using a function. And remember the previous talk, all this code can run on Flink, on Spark, on Dataflow. Okay, the only difference is the profile that they're going to use, and it can bootstrap on different execution engines. You have a location of the bin samples, so it's the code that I use in the presentation. You can check it out and tell yourself. Do you have any questions? Yes.
You have to use this with Storm, which is kind of like this joint bit. Each fault and spat will do its own individual thing, and it's also multi-threaded, so it scales like that, for example. So how would you use this beam with that? How does that fit into that picture?
You mean we don't have an existing IO for that, right?
You will have different data sources.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. This is more than what you're talking about here.
So it depends on the Storm runner, actually. It depends on the Storm runner, the runner that you're going to use in Beam. I mean, the number of threads that will be created by the Storm runner, it depends on the Storm runner by itself. From an end user perspective, I don't know, and honestly, I don't care. So it's a runner specific point, yeah. Other question? No? Thank you.